Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for the Combo Platter, 877-881-1053. It's Kool-Aid Day. Oh, yeah. So give us a sports opinion. Not bad. And then, what was your favorite food or drink as a kid that you haven't had in forever as an adult?
Can I add another Rick bonus question in here?
No.
Okay.
If you just say regular bonus, then yes.
I refuse.
Oh, man.
What was your favorite flavor of Kool-Aid?
Oh.
Was it grape Kool-Aid?
Yeah, which for some reason was the only flavor. All the other ones were colors, right? Didn't you just say red Kool-Aid? You weren't like cherry Kool-Aid.
But it said on the package like strawberry or something,
I know, but
right?
Did you ever say that?
Man, I only wanted red or grape. It was grape. It wasn't purple. I didn't drink purple of Kool-Aid. I drank grape. But it was red or blue or orange, but that's a flavor, right? Orange is a flavor.
Stop what you're doing.
And then there was like pink. No, it was lemonade. And you're like, lemonade's yellow. And they're like, nope, it's pink.
All right. I feel like we learned a lot there. But go ahead and send those messages in. But also, I was almost done doing my NFL Top 100, Top 10 research. I had eliminated and added people on the list. I had Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know he's going to be in the top 10. Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Myles Garrett, Patrick Surtain, Bijan Robinson, and Jahmyr Gibbs. I knew for a fact all seven of those players would be in the top 10. Well, I wasn't quite done with my research yet, and then the NFL said, we have done it for you. Here's the top 10. And I was like, I really wish you'd put this out a little bit before I started doing the research.
They gave you the top 10 in order?
In alphabetical order. Here are the remaining three. All right, so Jackson Smith and Jigba, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons is on the list. Patrick Surtain, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. And Micah Parsons is on the list. So that makes eight. I'm a little surprised because usually they really base it off of specific season production and injury. So I wondered if they would keep him out because of the injury. He is in the top 10. That means there are two spots left. They go to Christian McCaffrey and Puka Nacua, which means Tyler Smith, per the players, is not a top 100. And I think they might have put like an honorable mention. So maybe not even top 110 players in the NFL. Corey, your thoughts?
It's ridiculous. I think after, you know, the great wall of Zach Martin and Tyron Smith and all that left, you know, they were like, oh, the Cowboys offensive line will never be the same. This dude's been phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
For this offensive line. He's widely considered by other offensive linemen and other defensive linemen the best. I guess not, though, because this list is compiled by the players from the NFL.
Yeah, where the coaches, executives, scouts, GMs, I guess that's executives, put him at number one as interior offensive lineman. But that's when I started to think about it, because I told you Penei Sewell is 37, Trent Williams is number 40. But you know the one that really made me nervous is Quentin Nelson was 99, and I think Quentin Nelson was second on the interior offensive line list, and I know he's a better known like name for some people than Tyler Smith, and that was the moment that I really started to worry. So I will admit, I thought we were getting to the point where he was too high, but I did not think he would not be in the top 100. So I guess then the Cowboys only have three players in the top 100, Dak, CeeDee, and Pickens.
Yep.
Woo!
Ouch! And their defense was bad last year.
The worst.
Their offense was fantastic, and he was a reason for it. So that stinks, but here's what you do. Isn't this where Clayton Adams is like, this is the best?
Yeah.
This is the best possible scenario. Guys, I'm plastering it in everybody's locker.
For sure.
That Tyler Smith was disrespected.
Yeah.
Every single offensive lineman, I'm blowing it up as big as I can, putting it right there in a poster in the middle, and just being like, yeah, he's not considered one of the best. Y'all go show the truth. And I use it. And I don't even act like it's not a big deal. I would act like it's the biggest effing deal. But And then, yeah, because motivate, you got to find ways to motivate your players.
Yeah, sure.
Parcells would walk in with the gas can and be, you got any gas left? You got any gas left in the season? Don't eat the cheese. You know, all those stupid little things. You're like, that's silly. Dude, everybody has a form of motivation in some way, and this is something I'd use.
I would motivate the front office, too, and be like, holy overpay. This guy, not even the top 100. Come on, Jerry, do better. I'm just kidding. You know that's going to come out. You know that's going to come out.
Aiden, can you make that video and we'll send it directly to Tyler Smith on Insta?
Send it to Jerry Jones. It's his motivation, and he and I don't always see eye to eye as it is. All right. Would you like to start? Would you like me to go to the text, or would you like to start with Alec?
I can start.
Oh, you sound sad about that.
I'm just ticked off right now.
I mean, I can move this segment if you want.
I was listening this morning.
We can talk about the wing.
It's a good thought, Kevin. It really is, okay. Considering they won last night.
Yeah, they did.
Awesome. I started the show with that, though.
That's true.
Bobby and Sean were talking this morning about how people keep saying the Cowboys training camp looks, all the reporters we've talked to, right? It's like, they just seem different. These practices seem different. And obviously everybody out there is like the same way, right? I'll believe it when I see it in a regular season game. I'll believe it when I see it in a playoff. Like, that's where we are right now.
I have to admit, I did not think the George Pickens thing would stay completely quiet in terms of the contract. I really didn't.
You know what? That's another, that adds to my sports opinion. The reason that it is what it is right now, even Drew Brees, they played the audio of Drew Brees talking about how much better the practices look. That was before the Saints practice, by the way. I don't know if you've heard, but the Cowboys and Saints got into a fight.
You know, I mean, we've played the same effing sports minute for 3 days. I'm sorry if we're not supposed to bring that up. But that guy has been talking about Brock Rechsteiner for the last 3 days.
But the reason that the Cowboys feel different this year, a lot of people are crediting Shoddy, and I'll credit Shoddy too, but they brought in adults for this team, experienced adults that want to be leaders. Jalen Thompson is an adult. He's not a rookie that you're hoping can hang on, you know? Rashawn Gary is an adult who actually is a little jaded right now and ticked off about the way he was treated.
I could see that.
So you kind of have a grizzled vet that's kind of ticked off about something. You brought in Caleb Downs, who's already an adult. Like, he got Shoddy to jump in the conditioning drills.
Yeah.
Looking across the thing, you were hoping Micah would become a leader. And I'm not trying to crap on Micah here. But in the past, you had DeMarcus Lawrence leadership, and that was it. And then you had a bunch of other dudes that were kind of trying to take that from him eventually, or waiting their turn. But they were never showing the signs of being the leader that they could be. And then you had a lot of chaos going on because they weren't acting like adults. This group, they actually said, we're going to bring in some adults for this. And that's why this looked like a professional training camp, except for the Saints fights. Like, can you imagine Ezeraku being the one that you're hoping becomes the leader of this team right now with the way that he's just, like, all over the place at the moment? So bringing in having adults here has been one of the reasons I think that this has been a different training camp. My thing that I haven't had in a long time, Kevin.
That you loved as a kid.
Sonny D. Sunny Delight.
So gross.
Was not gross. It was orange juice, Kevin.
It didn't taste anything like orange juice.
It was orange.
That is true.
And it had all the vitamins of orange juice plus the vitamins of the sun.
Doubt that.
Whatever the vitamins, it had more vitamin, I'm assuming D, because it was Sunny D. But it was Sunny Delight first. Then they were like shortened it to just D.
Did we get lazy?
Just get the D in there. Yeah, probably so.
Oh, goodness.
But, like, I would get home, the commercial was exactly it. What's this grape stuff? And then they moved that bottle out of the way, and they're like, there's the Sunny D, and everybody would party, you know? And that's exactly the way I was. I wanted a huge glass of Sunny D in the morning, a huge glass of Sunny D in the afternoon after school.
Okay.
And that got me through. And I haven't had a single drop of it.
And that's what fascinates me.
And I don't want to ever drink it again, honestly.
From the From the 214 Sports Opinion, OU, I'm assuming football, is going to shock every one of our haters this year, and their favorite food as a kid that they haven't had since then. You're going to notice a trend on some of these answers. It's the Bennigan's Monte Cristo. Now let's go to the 940. The Rangers will be leading the division this time next week, and it was Surge and Lemon Ice Gatorade were the go-to as a kid. Both of them are discontinued now. So what's interesting is you said, I'm good. Yeah. I don't need to try that anymore.
I never want it again.
But then these other people are like, I mean, I would. It just doesn't exist anymore.
I saw, and this is one of those, Kevin, that I just saw. I don't think it had a sports opinion, but somebody said Tang.
No deal.
And I would absolutely go find a jar of Tang and take it to the house and be like, we're having Tang. If it's good enough for the astronauts, it's good enough for me.
Okay. Yes. Man, and that's another word that
Tang?
Got hijacked.
By what?
Yeah, do you think you imagine you tell the astronauts, hey, we're going to give you this drink called Tang that will work up in space. Not too long from now, though, it will be a substitute word for women's genitalia.
What?
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Because whenever I tasted it, I went, this is tangy. And they were like, oh, that's it. It's called Tang. That's how they named it.
Yeah.
I think. Let's go look it up.
I don't know if that's the case or not.
How
all right.
How did they name Tang?
Alec, let's go to you. Give us a sports opinion. And then, what was your favorite food or drink as a kid that you haven't had forever as an adult?
My sports opinion, gentlemen. The best time of the year is finally back. Texas high school football is getting underway starting this week for a lot of people. And I am so freaking amped up. Because I am the voice of Fort Worth All Saints. So I'll be back in the booth. Season number 4 for me. So it's been a while, but I'm excited. New quarterback, all kinds of good stuff going on. Got a powerhouse matchup tonight against Parish Episcopal. Two reigning defending undisputed state champions going head-to-head in a non-district matchup against a quarterback that has 14 million D1 offers already, including Texas A&M. And he's only a sophomore. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of good storylines this year in the world of Texas high school football in both UIL and TAPS. So I am so excited to get back into the thick of it because I'm a sicko. Whenever I have an off day or if I call a game on a Thursday or a Saturday, I'll sit down and I'll find whatever the powerhouse matchup is that we can all watch the stream of it.
Sure.
Just because.
You're crazy, man.
I love football. I love football so
much.
Do
you consider that your team?
Yes. Even though I was raised in public school, I went to UIL programs, Mansfield Summit. But yeah,
what are your thoughts on vouchers?
TAPS football is interesting. I will say that is very interesting. We're starting a week earlier this season, they operate very differently than UIL. But it's intriguing. It adds a new element. Lots of talent there too.
Okay. All right. Did you give us the food or drink?
Was it Tang?
Man, it's not Tang. For me, I had to remember the name of it. I was fumbling with what the word was. Remembered the actual image, and I found it. The Oreo Cakester.
Huh.
It's like a fluffed up version of Oreos.
Oh, I do know what that is. Yeah, I do not know if I ever tried that.
They came in packs of two, I think. They were probably big when I was, I don't know, maybe 10.
Were they as bad as regular Oreos?
They were actually 10 times better than regular Oreos. They're literally just little cakes that have the Oreo cream filling.
They kind of look appealing on it.
They are awesome because the cake does not taste like the Oreo cookie at all.
See, that's what I need.
It tastes like chocolate cake. And they are awesome. The consistency is perfect. I'll probably never eat them again. Just because I'm not into sweets like I was as a kid.
I get it. I do.
But they were the coolest thing ever as a kid.
From the 817, the Dallas Cowboys make a surprise NFC championship game and Waffle Crisp cereal. Do you remember Waffle Crisp cereal?
I do remember Waffle Crisp cereal.
I don't think I ever had that either.
Yeah, no, you need to try out Waffle Crisp cereal.
Okay, is that imperative, you think?
It's little waffles, dude, with milk on it. Guess what happens?
What?
The milk goes in those little storage bins on the waffle. Which means you get more milk with your cereal now.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
From the 817.
Sobe Lizard Drinks.
It's literally the Rangers are going to make the effing playoffs, and it was Mango Sunny D. So they're expanding.
Mango Sunny D? Hold on, what?
I did not know.
Dude, that's what we need. We need some cayenne Sunny D, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Really spruce it up. Pineapple Sunny D.
I mean, maybe. From the 903, man, this is running away with it. Caleb Downs will have to win MVP to live up to the hype that has been put on this kid. And their favorite childhood drink that they don't consume anymore, Sunny D.
I'm telling you, dude. It got all of us. Those commercials were the reason, dude.
From the 469, Olivia Miles is the real number one. And
good,
it was the Monte Cristo from Bennigan's. Look, I'm not here to argue whatsoever that Olivia Miles hasn't been amazing this year. And obviously she's having a far better season than AZ Fudd. And I would listen to conversations about her being the MVP. But
she's better than Paige.
Two things. Ooh, I don't know about that. Two things. I don't know how that would work with Paige. And it is still year one. So we'll see how it all plays out.
But it's sad that you can't get a Monte Cristo anywhere else in the world.
You can.
I don't think so.
And Cheddar's has changed up their game. They fixed it. So I used to, Cheddar's Monte Cristo used to be my secondary. And then they were like, hey, what if we just make too much breading on everything? And you're like, I'm not just trying to get the fried bread.
Yeah.
It works in cooperation with the meat and cheese. And they've done a better job as of late. From the 713. If Memphis was in the Big 12, they would compete for a conference title, and it's Dunkaroos for them. Do you remember Dunkaroos?
Dude, my kids got Dunkaroos a while back. Actually, I think Martin House made a Dunkaroos beer.
The artwork there is so great.
But my kids were into Dunkaroos right before or after COVID. They were just all about it, dude.
Ooh. And from the 214, Cowboys will end up with a top five defense this year, but get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. That would be shockingly disappointing. And it's the Ecto Cooler. Was that High C? Right? Do you remember that? They had the Ghostbusters.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
And everything. And then from the 251, the Texans are expected to be $60 million over the cap next year, so the Cowboys will trade for Danielle Hunter and Frozen Smuckers.
Mm, I'm a sucker for Smuckers jam.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day plus wrestling cards. Ooh. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Yo! Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call.
Yeah!
The pride of Mansfield, Texas, and the mayor of the Medfordplex.
Is there a link to order food from the cafe downstairs? Because, like, I am very hungry today. And I just, if I could, like, order it.
I'll tell you what. I have a bold idea. You should go down there during this segment.
All right. I love this segment, though.
That Alec and I are going to crap on you.
That's right.
This is my favorite segment of the station.
Oh, in your face, pee-pee.
saving that.
Also,
thank you. We've got the question of the day. Plus, I feel like I'm stealing Kevin's bit here this week. We're going to do a little collectible corner and talk wrestling cards here in just a little bit. But we must answer the question of the day first. I've got some other stuff we'll sprinkle in as well to end your week. But today, it's not a national holiday, but it's a birthday that we're going to be discussing. Today is the great, legendary, and world-renowned Usain Bolt's birthday.
Oh, man.
Usain Bolt, the man that broke the world record in the 100-meter dash and the 200-meter dash. Three consecutive Olympics where he became the only sprinter to win the 100 and 200. Three straight Olympic turns, I guess.
You know, Alec, I've always been impressed, and sorry if this sounds like shade, it is meant as a compliment to the person, but I'm always impressed when a track and field person can become, for a time, the biggest athlete in the world. And there is no question that there was a time period where Usain Bolt felt like the biggest deal in all of the sports world. And I always think that's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, because we only care, again, Corey, highlight culture. Mm-hmm. We only care when people break world records.
Yeah.
Just as a sports community, that's all we care about. And I don't know why someone is calling the hotline, but I'm going to let y'all talk about Bolt a little bit. Let me set up the question of the day real quick. Okay. In honor of his birthday, who is the one person at the top of your bucket list to meet that you haven't met yet? Because Usain Bolt is mine.
That's that's a really good question there,
Cooper
Kevin
Flag.
You haven't met him yet.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. I was acknowledging. You haven't met him yet?
No.
That's the way I should have said it. Michael Johnson was the biggest track star I knew.
That's another one.
And, like, he was a hero, dude.
Yeah.
Because me and my dad would watch him all the time.
And he's from here!
So then when I got a chance to, like, actually sit down and watch him, it was one of the coolest things ever. And meet him. You know, remember, I made him laugh. Roll over on the ground laughing. Because I was so funny.
And it felt like a thing where you got so invested that you would also follow the lead up to the race. Because the race was so short, you're like, yeah, all right, I'll pregame this thing a little bit.
Who was it, Alec?
You want to take a guess? He's a friend of ours.
Oh.
Mike.
Close in spelling.
Oh.
Because
my first guess was going to be Heidi Watney, but
way too early.
Mickey
Spagnola. He was making sure he had the right phone number.
Okay. I gave him that phone number.
Yeah, he was being diligent. I appreciate that. Yeah, he said he was just making sure he had the right number.
All right.
So we will talk to him again in like 12, 15 minutes.
I'd love to meet.
But yes, Usain Bolt is mine, which, a good pull, he's a huge Dallas Wings fan.
Is that right?
He attends Wings home games frequently.
I've never seen him there.
And I saw him at one last year, which is crazy because he moves so fast. But I did see him. He was maybe 20 or 30 people to my left, so he was way far away. But we were in the same row. And I was like, I'm 99% sure that's Usain Bolt.
That's
and then
cool.
At halftime, they did their little celebrity row where they show all the celebs in attendance. And sure enough, they put him on camera, lower third, said Usain Bolt. I'm like, what the heck? Like, my childhood hero is right there. That is crazy.
Did you think about trying to go over there after that?
Okay. But you know who was actually blocking my way? Ronnie Coleman was sitting right next to me. And I was like, he's going to be hard to work
around. Rowdy Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was all kinds of people. Jordan Chiles was there that night. Like, everybody was there. It was incredible. But yes, Usain Bolt, because he was like my hero as a kid, mainly because I ran track and whatnot growing up. But whenever I saw the movie Cool Runnings, which is one of the greatest feature films of all time, if you have not seen it,
I love Cool Runnings.
It is awesome. It got me to really like
rhythm. We got the rhyme.
It got me to really look into the Jamaican Olympic teams in general, not just the sprinting side, not just the bobsled team. I was like, I want to see if there's any other cool stories here. So I really dove in on Usain Bolt. He breaks the record. And I'm like, this might be the coolest human ever. So
he was, I mean, look, if you talk about the best of the best, there was a time when it was like, good luck, everybody else. You're going to lose this race. Like, before the race started, I always wonder about that psych out level.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this is my chance. I know I'm not going to win, but maybe I could get a silver.
That's why I always felt so bad for Justin Gatlin. I would always get a little bit of hope every 4 years. I'd be like, man, Gatlin is one of the best alive right now. He's just not the best.
This is a segment I think we should do now. Who are all time?
We are doing a segment.
Okay, that's true. Segment idea.
Oh, okay.
Who are, should be more all-time great athletes, but there was just one person who was the greatest sitting in front of them.
That's a good one. I like this.
Like, we were at a game and he just was in front of me? Like, I,
you know what?
But
for
he
the
wasn't
purposes
playing,
of this?
He was just watching also?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, if we're doing that, then Drew Brees was sitting in front of me at WrestleMania.
I couldn't really see around him.
You know what? That might be my list right there, Drew Brees. I have not. This is really difficult, Kevin, because thanks to the Super Bowl trips, And thanks to like the coverage that we've done, all my heroes, I've been able to kind of run into at some point.
Wow.
Yeah. It is really one of the coolest things, Alec, that is like, I'm not going to lie, it is a perk of the job that I've absolutely been blessed with. And so I'm trying to think through this list a little bit. And Drew Brees is one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. And, you know, built one of the first inclusive playgrounds in Louisiana. Like, a lot of really cool things that he's done. So, like, he's there because Staubach met him. You know, Troy met him, fumbled that one ridiculously. You know, all these guys, all my baseball heroes. Nolan once asked me if I was going to ride in his car, but it was actually Evan Grant he was talking to, so that was a weird thing.
I'm sorry,
but I have
buddy.
Met Nolan, too. I guess, like, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would be on the bucket list, but I've always been told that he would treat you like garbage because he's like, who the F are you? You know, and you're just like, oh, my gosh.
That's sad.
Because he was the great one. Except for Wayne Gretzky was a great one. Great one. So, yeah,
that's who the 972 picks, Wayne Gretzky. Somebody that is at the top of your bucket list of who you want to meet from the 858. I like this twist. I would love to meet Bert Kreischer. He just seems like his life is a total S show, and I'm here for it.
We were that close to having him on the show at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What about General Norman Schwarzkopf?
I think he's dead, but yeah.
All right, so no.
Interesting. Okay.
Kyle Yeomans.
That's right.
So, and somebody said Jesus. I was thinking about your interaction with Troy Aikman. And if I saw Jesus and I was like, so, Carpenter, huh? And then he just kind of looks at me and I'd be like, I gotta go.
He's like,
like, I really just screwed this entire thing up.
My dad's over there. I'm gonna go talk with him for a little bit.
And you're like, isn't your dad okay?
He's the father.
Yeah, I would be really confused.
You mean the Lord is here?
Yeah, so I don't think I could handle that one-on-one.
So you're not prepared to meet Jesus?
I am prepared to meet Jesus. If you told me we have to have like a interaction,
a little chat,
I will be nervous. I'm hoping if in heaven they'll take that part of me away,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, you won't be nervous.
Yeah,
because now I'd be like, holy moly, and he'd be like, don't say that.
We had Tyson up at the station a long time ago. Mike Tyson, that is, Kevin. Not like Tyson Chandler,
yeah.
We know him.
Oh, I want some chicken nuggets. That sounds good.
Suzanne, I told you.
Kevin, I promise we're going to get to wrestling cards, but you need to bear with me for a second because it's time for the Angel Reese update.
Son of a
Power looking ahead. Last 7 points for the Dream have come from Reese. Have it. Angel Reese.
Oh,
what a time
to be alive. Goodness. Yes. What a time to be alive. Angel Reese was perfect. Perfect. In helping the Atlanta Dream cruise to an easy 124-88 win over the LA Sparks last night.
Wow, that is pretty impressive.
Angel Reese became the first player in WNBA history to have a game with at least 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals without missing a single shot from the field.
Dude, they're in our way, Kevin.
So
they're in the wings' way.
This is crazy impressive to me because she's a terrible shooter.
That's right.
She's shooting 19.6% from 3 and 43% from the field. When you consider the rebounds and the putbacks, that's an astonishingly low number. So she's an awful shooter, but that's pretty damn cool.
She was 2-for-2 from 3 last night as well.
Yeah. Is she that awful?
At one point,
did she get better?
Well, she went 2-for-2 to raise it to 19.6%.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. Jeez. Amazing.
I think she had 17 points in 18 minutes to start the game. Like, it was dominant. So, yes, am I halfway trolling Kevin? Absolutely.
1,000%.
But she had the best night of her career last night, so I felt like I had to mention now to make Kevin happy,
that is
wrestling cards. So, the wrestling equivalent of the Cooper Flag debut patch, in my opinion, was the John Cena 1-of-1 WrestleMania patch autograph, where it features a patch that he wore at WrestleMania in Las Vegas, where he won his never-seen 17th WWE Championship. That card was found and immediately graded, for whatever reason, and sent in to Golden Auctions. The auction went live yesterday, so it has 29 days remaining. We already have 15 bids. And we have reached, with the buyer's premium, $112,240. It is already north of $110,000.
Does it by chance say in the article what the pre-auction estimate was from Golden?
$4.
Well, that
is, it went for way more.
That is too low.
All right.
It does not on
okay.
this one.
Because, I mean, do you think it half a million? Is that
my
crazy?
Guess was half a million.
Okay.
That's where I think it's ultimately going to go for around $500,000. Because this is... We don't know if we will see this record ever get broken. And this patch is from his gear that he wore to win that championship. Oh,
what do you think is the most expensive wrestling card ever sold?
Is it a Hogan?
It is.
Oh, $100,000?
$132,000. It's a PSA 9 Hulk Hogan from the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars.
Wow.
So that is his rookie card. That set is bananas, by the way. And that went for $132,000.
This card is going to be absurd.
Wow. Good job, John Cena.
What about Roman Reigns?
I don't know what his most expensive card is. Let's see.
What about El Vagabundo?
Huh?
That is Elias. when he like lost, loser leaves NXT, he showed back up as El Vagabondo the next week. And I thought it was a great bit. I really, really
did. I loved
did.
It, dude. I was almost hooked on wrestling at that point, right? Then, almost. Thanks to El Vagabundo.
The highest Roman Reigns card ever sold was for $15,000.
Dang! Jump week, bro. Yeah.
Pick your money up.
We're the KNC masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, as we continue to shuffle the schedule, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now, powered by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas, and Specs. How about them savings from Specs? Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Howdy, sir.
How's it going today?
It is going well, except for the fact that I just realized that I did not send you the clip of the fight. So that was
Kevin,
my bad.
Kevin, you know what? You go look for the clip right now.
Yeah.
I got other things I need to ask.
All right. Well, let me ask him one thing first. We saw the consequences after the first preseason game of how it can elevate and drop people in the hierarchy of any NFL team. Is there someone, who have to excel to continue that quest to make or perhaps stay on the roster in the Cardinals game?
Well, you mean to stay at like on the 53-man roster?
Yeah, let's start with that, and I know we can expand it to the practice squad.
Yeah, I think that there's really good competition at a couple of the offensive depth positions. I think at wide receiver, and you know, the top two guys, maybe three, won't play in the game. So the young guys, the veterans, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Mingo, guys like that, they'll need to have good games. The running back position behind Javonte Williams, it's pretty crowded right now, so I think those guys will need to keep an eye on. Also, the backup quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anything's been separated greatly there. So again, I'm sure that evaluation will go through all three preseason games before they make a decision. And what they've got to hope, guys, is one of them stands out to the point that you say, okay, that's my backup quarterback. Not, well, I guess that guy's my backup quarterback, and then you're looking at players who get cut at the 53. So right off the top of my head, those guys certainly, I think there's some backup, you know, defensive linemen, guys that, need to show out. There's a Jay Toya. You mentioned Dunn the other day. I think, for backup spot there. But the good thing for the Cowboys is from a majority of the starter positions, I think they're pretty settled. And at cornerback, is it Revel on the other side or is it Kobe Durant? But either or, I don't think the Cowboys lose out there. So linebacker, it's been pretty steady how they've played the first line of linebackers with Winters and Overshown. So you're battling for backup spots there. And really, this sounds like coach speak, but a lot of this stuff could be decided by special teams. Can you help me on special teams? And God knows the Cowboys need help on special teams, coverage and returns, not the guy returning, the return blockers and things like that that I think have to be settled. So, yeah, while, you know, the outcome of the game, win, lose, all right, big deal. But for several of these guys, these last two preseason games are going to be vitally important.
Yeah, Mickey, I found it interesting yesterday when Shoddy was talking and he was like, look, Cam Brown, great two touchdowns. That was cool and everything. But I'm more interested in how he goes up against our guys. Was he kind of meaning like we got him up against some of our one cornerbacks and that's more interesting than going up against their third and second cornerbacks in Seattle?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because you know, if the other team's playing their seconds and thirds and you star against, you know, with your second and thirds against theirs, yeah, you got to see it in practice. But he has done that. And again, it's not like, you know, the touchdown catches he made were because he was playing against lesser guys, right? They were spectacular catches, yeah. No matter who you were playing against. Now, you might judge how they're running routes against the second and third teamers, and you know, are you getting open? But on both of those, I don't care who was, trying to defend you. You made spectacular catches, and I think that counts. But it also counts what you do in practice. And that's a good observation. What are you doing against my ones, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing in the joint practice when you're practicing against the other team's first line guys? I think that's almost more important than the preseason game.
Well, let's talk about one particular player who you mentioned then, going back to Revel. Is on Wednesday, I think it was, Christian Parker said he also runs to coaching. I know talent is so, so important, but through the years, what you've witnessed, how important is that, like, attitude, hustle, and things of that nature?
Yeah, and I think he thrives for the coaches to, you know, take the time to correct them or say, hey, this is kind of how you have to do it. I wish I could remember the player's name, and it was quite some time ago, and it might even go back, you guys. I don't know. I can't remember if it was here, Wichita Falls, but the Cowboys had a seventh-round cornerback. Now, when you're a seventh-round cornerback, you're already on the edge, right, to make the team or not, just from your draft status. Well, he ran a play, and one of the defensive the cornerback coach went out and explained to him how he wanted that technique done. And the kid, I'm standing right there, and the kid turns to the coach, and he goes, yeah, coach, but this is the way I like to do it. How do you think that went over?
Yeah.
Pretty swimmingly?
Yeah, no, probably not so much.
So that, in contrast to Revel saying, hey, give me all your knowledge, I'll soak it in. And, you know, he continues to make plays. You know, it's not perfect, but no cornerback is, right? But, boy, his reach, when he's beat, those arms allow him to catch up sometimes and maybe not intercept the ball, but tip it and get a PBU.
So speaking of that, so not necessarily, because I know you've done a column on DallasCowboys.com talking about all the turnover in the defense. So I'm not necessarily talking about the personnel, but just what you've seen, how much different does this secondary look this camp compared to last camp and preseason?
I think it's assignment sound. Guys know what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to be. I think that's the stark difference between now and last year. Also, there's more experience back there, especially at the cornerback spot. You've got some guys like, well, take the other cornerback spot, Revel and Durant. Whichever guy ends up starting, the other guy's pretty good behind him, and right. that wasn't the case last year. Between injuries, guys not ready to play, you know, they the guys were playing that. I mean, this year, Tyquez Bridges is going to be hard-pressed to make this team.
Yeah.
Last year, at one point in the season, the guy was starting. And we're talking a seventh-round draft choice that had already gotten released in training camp, and the Cowboys picked him up, right?
Yeah.
And he had to start. That's not going to happen again, health willing, right? That's what they were facing last year in the secondary.
Well, thank you very much, good sir. Thanks for holding down Oxnard. Have fun at the game, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
I'll be back, by the way, on the same time zone.
Okay, yay. And then I can say good morning like a normal human. All right, see you, Mick.
We can figure out our time, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up next, Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. Sideline reporter Heidi Watney joins the show next on The Fan.